things have changed quite a bit. We've all got kids now, but I still write about going out quite a bit, to be honest, because that's where I get, you know, most of my inspiration from, to be honest. If I go to a gig, I normally end up penning something. I say penning, it's not that anymore. It's, you know, on your notes, on your iPhone or whatever. But, yeah, I still write about going out a lot. And John's got, like, a little setup in his house. And I guess that was one of the main changes in the way he was writing, whereas before we'd all get in the studio and kind of me or John would just bring down a little idea on an acoustic guitar and turn it into a track, you know, throw it up in the air and see how it lands. But with this record, John was coming down with, like, full ideas, you know. So that was kind of, that was a different way of working, because we was kind of working off his demos and then re-recording them. And then when we went and finally done it with Rory Atwell, who produced the record in the end, was kind of working off our demos. Even there, was just pulling up the projects and replacing the bits that needed replacing and keeping, you know, we kept quite a lot of what we'd recorded initially in our studio. So that was a different way of working it again. But it was a really organic process, because going on from 1020, because we recorded all of 1020 in our own studio and then had it mixed. So I feel like we've got a formula, a way of working that works for us.
You mentioned you've got two kids there, and you know a lot of lads have got kids now and settled down and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it different on the road now? And if so, how so? Do you still go out and have it every night, even afterwards, as you would have done back in the day, or has now just settled down a bit?
Yeah, I can't help. If I start having a couple of drinks, I always end up somewhere. But when I'm at home, it's different. I don't think it's really changed how we are when we're away. But when I'm at home, it's definitely not as, you know, it's definitely different. I can't put that all on the missus. And you want to be with the kids, you know what I mean? Daddy hangovers are horrible as well, to be honest.
Would you love to see this album go in now, you know, in top 20?
Of course, man. Of course, you know, we want to get it out there to as many people as possible. But I think the reason the band's still going is because we do seem to have a real hardcore fan base where we can still go to London and still play to 1,000 people. And, you know, in Birmingham, we can still fill out the main academy and stuff. And I don't know. Things have changed, haven't they? When you just look at record sales in general, you know, people steal it, don't they? And Spotify, I've only just discovered Spotify, really. I know I'm about two or three years too late, but it's different times, isn't it? I guess if we can still travel around and still play, we'll keep doing it. Long may the blood continue, you know.
Getting away with it all messed up.
What a great song you've just quoted there.
Are you aching for the blade? That's okay.
But what do you think it is about your fans? Why do they keep coming back all the time?
I do think, without sounding bragging or whatever, I do think we are a good live band, you know. And I think we definitely put on a party, and that's always been the aim. I mean, I go and watch a lot of bands that I love, and it's pretty, you know, it's pretty static, man. People just, and I want people to. I think if you're paying money to go to a show and you're paying £5 a pint or whatever ridiculous prices it is nowadays, I think you deserve to be able to lose your inhibitions and have a good time and not just stand there acting cool. And I think that's what it is. I think there is a real party. Our old manager always used to say, you know, you're a party band. And I feel like it is a party, a celebration, in a way, our shows. And there's not that many bands that, in my opinion, that put on a show like that, you know. All the great bands cross over, don't they? You know, and not many manage to do it fully. And if you think, like, Oasis, they had, if you went, when Oasis came about, you know, in their crowd, there were students and normal lads. You know, not that students aren't normal lads, but, you know, like, there was, or girls, whatever, but there was, you know, they had both sets of kids, didn't they? And then, like, even the streets, you know, you used to go to a streets gig and you see loads of lads that was, you know, and loads of, like, cool kids that were listening to, you know, indie music or whatever. And I think the great bands managed to do that. And I think we've done it to a certain extent. But, you know, I think that's the aim, man, to get everyone. You know, like the Mundys did, you know. I remember my older brother was like a typical student kid, you know, cardigans and Converse and, you know, listening to the Pixies. And I remember him coming back with his Mundys records and, you know, and when you can cross over to everyone, you become a classic band, don't you? And that was always kind of the aim for us, so.
You mentioned there you're kind of a party band and you've been noted for liking a bevy or two on your travels back in the day. What's the maddest thing you've encountered or that you've seen from other bands or yourself that you've just thought, this is so surreal, I can't believe they were even doing this, or I can't believe my eyes have just seen that? There must be some stories that you can pull out there.
I'm pretty rubbish remembering stories, to be honest. We get asked this question, tell us some crazy stuff on tour, but it's always pretty mad. A lot of the time, you wake up with a phone call off your manager saying, what are you doing? And you're like... But then 2 weeks down the line, they're talking about it in the pub like you're heroes, you know. So I think the truth of it is, when it really happens, when it actually happens, they don't really like it, you know. They want these rock and roll tales, but I don't think there's that many bands now running around being that mad, you know what I mean? I think it's all nonsense. They're all kind of... Especially with us. When it actually was happening, they didn't like it, you know. Management, the venues, the festivals, you know. When you really was having a play up and, you know... Just being like you, living the dream. They don't want it, but it was crazy, man. We walked around with a permanent hangover for years, and it does get a little bit on top of you, you know. And you kind of, you do have to take a step back and think why you're doing it. You know, there was times on stage where I found myself on stage and I was far too drunk, and it felt like I was doing karaoke of my own band. You know what I mean? And that kind of made me realise that. It's more important because it's their Friday night, not mine, because I'm gigging every night of the week and for the fans that have paid the 15 quid to get in or whatever, you know, it was more important that I put on a show for them and let them have a good night rather than me turning up on stage like a, you know. Yeah. Well, that's what it felt. Sometimes that's how it felt, and I kind of had to rein that in, you know, and because I did feel, however stupid it sounds, I felt like it was my duty to kind of, you know, but in the end... Really, my duty is to put on a good show, and that's where I'm kind of at now, really.
Is that what like the early gigs were all about? Because didn't you have to change your name, right, when you first started off because of being mental and didn't venues chucking you out? Is that right?
I think it was a deliberate... We weren't deliberately trying to be mental. We were just young and excited and given loads of brandy. And it was... And that's a recipe, isn't it? For a bit of chaos, and I think that's what people got into us for initially, you know, that our gigs were, in the early days especially, and a lot of that was me overcoming my fear in one, you know, in that way of like, rather than getting nervous, I'd front it, you know, and it meant that I didn't have no nerves, but it did mean that I was a bit over the top, you know, and I look back, but I don't, you know, got a lot of people into us, and I think they could relate to it because, you know, on a Friday night when you're excited and you're going out and you know, and you start drinking, you get more excited, yeah, and you, before you know it, you're spinning around like the Tasmanian devil, aren't you? Going mad. So I think that's all it was. But as long as you're nice with it, I think we were nice with it. You know, I don't think we never went out of our way to upset people or anything like that. It was just that we was, you know, drunk and excitable. Yeah, man, it was fun. It still is fun, you know. Don't get me wrong. There's still many a night where you wake up thinking, Jesus Christ, what was it?
Now your missus has a quiet word to you and going, hey, rope it in.
Yeah, right. She does. Rain it in. But, she's all right. As I say, it doesn't really affect. When I go home, I'm at home, and when I'm out with the lads, I'm out with the lads. You sign your own, you hear the phone. Your mother calls you. Make a deal, you shake on it. Best job in the world, isn't it? I'm not just saying that. It still fills me with, you know, that buzz every time. And same as when we're in the studio and every time we write a new track, it's like, you know, I get home and I can't sleep because I'm so excited. The fact that we've wrote this thing that I personally think sounds great, you know, it's like, that's why we'll keep doing it. And until it feels like a lie or until it feels... Yeah, like a lie, you know. If I find myself on stage and I'm not feeling it, I'll knock it on the edge, you know. If I find myself in the studio and it's not happening and I'm not feeling it, then I'll knock it on the head. And
what do you think you'd be doing if you were in a band then? I know you were always ready for it and you knew it was going to happen in your own head, but what do you think?
I mean, when I say I knew it was going to happen, I was convinced. There was a time when I was thinking it's got to happen soon, do you know what I mean? Because, like, we got signed quite late, like, I was 28 when we got a record deal. But I also thought, like, a lot of my favourite bands... Like Noel, you know, was 28. Ian Brown and was 28 when they broke, and the Doves. And I think it'd give us that time to write. We were kind of ready, you know. We had, you know, an extensive back catalogue to choose from, you know. I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd probably be grafting, doing something. I don't know. I wanted to escape. I wanted to do something cool. I wanted to, like yourself, you know. I didn't want to work for the man and as such, but. I don't know what I'd be doing. I mean, it's in my mind now what I'm going to do when the band finishes, and I've got no idea, you know. Like, but I just... I'd rather not earn loads of money and be happy